hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of South Geek News. This is episode 4. We are recording on a Wednesday. It is October the 23rd, 2024. I'm Donovan. That's Ben. And we do not have any major storms affecting us at all as we both look up at the map on the big TV.
We have clear skies above.
Yes. And warmer temperatures. It was nice, actually, last week to have some cooler temps. I mean, I was getting up and coming out here at 6:30 in the morning, and it was in the 40s. I like that.
I prefer it because there are no gnats.
Yeah. Now, as of right now, it is 81 degrees, and it's currently after 5 o'clock.
Yeah. What is it? 5:30.
Yeah. So, in the last 2 weeks, the major thing that I know that happened in the last 2 weeks, and it actually affected both of us, was something that happened last Friday.
Yep.
So our lovely, lovely, fantastic ISP in this area, one of three, True Vista.
Our small one with big problems.
Yeah, small one with big problems. Got up Friday morning, and I first started noticing the issue on my laptop or my phone or something. There were certain sites I just couldn't get to. And of course, as your joke points out, my first thought was, got to be DNS.
It's not a joke. It's always DNS.
Little company with big problems. Little company.
They are smaller than Mediacom.
They're smaller than Mediacom. I'm fairly certain that they may be smaller than Clearwave. I'm not sure because Hargrave Fiber then spun off Clearwave. So they're a bigger company, but they may be equal in size. I don't know. But they are smaller than Mediacom. They're smaller than AT&T, but good luck getting anything around here. You're not going to get AT&T residential service. Let's put it that way. So anyway, there was just certain, it was like half the internet was not available. And boy, I started lighting up the phone with my contact at True Vista, and they pissed me off. Now, he didn't, but hit the response that he got back initially pissed me off. And I was in the truck headed to get groceries, and he calls me, and he's like, yeah, I talked to Anak, and they're saying that we got a problem with connecting to Microsoft stuff. And I just went ballistic. My daughter is in the passenger seat. I'm holding the phone, which I'm not supposed to be doing, but I'm doing it anyway. And I just lit up. I mean, I think every third word was a cuss word because I was so pissed off. And I stopped. I said, dude, I'm not mad at you, but what kind of fucking morons do you have working in that damn knock? He's like, and because it wasn't just Microsoft. It wasn't just Office. It was half the damn internet we couldn't get to. What it turned out to be is, I sent you and I said, you know, it's beyond them. You said upstream. And I said, yeah, apparently, and I cannot remember the name of the company, but one of their upstream providers, they did an upgrade on one of their routers and fucked up the BGP somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they left out certain subnets. They left out something in ACLs. They're never going to tell me what exactly happened. But all I know is that if you were on any service other than the ADTRAN fiber to the home or fiber to the business, you had the problem. If you were on cable modem, if you were on their fiber to the destination Calix, which is what they're replacing with the ADTRAN stuff, none of that worked. If you were on, those two things, cable modem and Calix. If you were on the newer ADTRAN, which was a completely different subnet, you didn't have the problem. So that's all we know at this point. And I was told that their fix for it, they rolled the upgrade back, which means that they're going to have to do the upgrade again.
Well, maybe they'll get it right this time.
Let's hope so.
Maybe the new engineer will get it right this time.
One does hope. And look, I've had my share of botched upgrades. You know, we did one for the cable modem termination system, the CMTS, at CityNet back years and years ago. This probably would have been around 2004, 2005, somewhere in there. And we spent a better part of the day working with Cisco trying to figure out why the cable modems were only half-ass working. I mean, to the point, I mean, I skipped lunch. I got lunch at about 4 o'clock that afternoon when the guys felt sorry for me and brought me something, went and got me something and brought it back. And finally and here's the thing. It wasn't until we got some guy out of Australia who actually had a clue and finally said, yeah, that iOS, and this is not phone, but this is
what, Cisco.
It's a Cisco, the Cisco software. That version of the iOS is botched. Really? Well, then why was it available to install? And he said, it shouldn't have been. And so he got us the right package to install, and everything started working. But we had some angry, angry folks. So I say that to clarify that I've been on that end of it as well. So I understand when things go awry, but it shouldn't take 12 hours to figure out that something is not right.
Yeah.
Because this happened starting around 12:30 Friday morning, 12:30 a.m., and they didn't get it resolved until a little after 12:30 p.m.
I think it's a failure in change management. Because when we made any sort of change on a system, when I worked for the financial services company in Atlanta, we had to have a detailed plan, why we were doing what we were doing, and then if it all went to shit, what's my backout plan?
Yeah.
So if I quickly see, yeah, this isn't going to work, this is back out.
Yeah.
I don't sit there for 12 hours. You know, within 30 minutes, it should have been, all right, let's roll this back.
Yeah.
It clearly ain't working. Let's back up and try later. Instead of digging for 12 hours. What?
Yeah.
You think they were really digging that?
No. I don't know. Maybe they were just sitting around scratching their asses. I don't know. And I'm being harsh, but that's because we were on the receiving end of customers that were pissed off at us.
I've not seen an apology, and
no,
I've not seen any hint of a...
What about a credit?
A credit,
yeah,
on for service? I mean, I don't need one, but...
Yeah,
you know,
I mean...
Majority of the customers down here do.
I mean, literally, I had a customer who was having to handwrite their work orders because their system depends on a VPN connection to a server in, I believe, Ohio. That VPN connection would not connect.
Because there was no route to it.
Apparently, there was no route to it. And so, for them, I mean, they didn't start working until 7 o'clock. But from 7 to 12:30, they were having to hand write their work orders for service. So, yeah, I mean, luckily the phones worked, but that's probably just because this is the one time having TruVista as the phone company was a positive. Because if I'd already moved them over, which I plan on doing, moving this client over to a different provider that they'll be connecting to a switch in Atlanta, their phones probably wouldn't have been working.
Possibility.
And so now I'm actually looking at a years ago whenever they had this VPN previously. They went from having a VPN to having the servers housed locally over at a different building to going back to a VPN because it just made more sense because of the support cost and everything for the equipment.
Yeah.
Back then, we had AT&T DSL as a backup for the VPN. So if the primary went down, at least their software, that part of it would still work.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a backup now, and as far as I've been able to determine, AT&T has stopped selling DSL service everywhere. It's all fiber.
Yeah.
They can't get fiber into that building, not easily, without, you know, some
right.
little dinero here. But so I'm looking at, I was talking to my son Tyler, and I was like, what do you think? I've got this one unit that it's an older unit. Basically, it's a cell phone router, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
We used it over at our place in Fitzgerald for a while, but Verizon was kind of finicky about the way the SIM would work with it and all of this. He suggested using Telo. Telo rides over T-Mobile. And he said, these boxes are certified to work with AT&T and T-Mobile. So I've got a SIM coming. Hopefully it should be here by Friday that I'm going to test and see how well what's the signal strength at that location.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go from there. Because if we're talking, you know, the one I've got coming is only like a two gig data and no phone at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like $6 a month. You know, so whatever their top tier is, you know, maybe we're looking at 20 gig, maybe 30 gig or whatever.
Yeah.
If it's only like $15, $20 a month, I'm confident that the customer is going to pay for that, because just the peace of mind of, hey, this is a backup. Piece of hardware is almost $500, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's either that or spend $500 for a Starlink and $120 a month for that as a backup. And I don't think that's going to fly. I mean, I wouldn't do it if I had another option, knowing that the amount of time that you hopefully will have to rely on this backup is very, very minimal.
Yeah.
So paying $20 or $30 a month, because, I mean, I think years ago, they were probably paying like $65 or $70 for that 6 megabit top-end capacity AT&T DSL. And, I mean, it was just the cost of doing business.
Yeah.
So other than that, anything else in the past 2 weeks of note from you?
Just playing with the large language models.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that later.
Well, I've been playing with some downloadable trained models from a place called Hugging Face.
Okay.
It's kind of like GitHub. So it's a community where people share models and all, you know, it's really for AI stuff. If you want to run stuff locally or even against an API like Anthropic or ChatGPT, it's just a portal to use to upload, download, kind of share, sort of an open source community vibe to it. I was playing with some image creation. I sent you those.
Yes.
Text to image. And then some image to image, like inline or real, not real time, but image editing. You just give it a picture and say, you know, put a hat on this dude, and it does its best. It's not perfect. It's really early. A couple of years ago when DALL-E kind of came out,
right?
People had weird hands, and it's that kind of quality, but I'm sure
6 fingers instead of 5.
Yeah. Missing a leg and, you know, and a crowd. This person should have 2 legs. They just have one. So it kind of
alien.
It's not a really high definition, highly accurate model, but for landscapes, it does great.
What GPU are you using for that?
Brand new, top of the line. Kidding. GeForce GTX 970.
Wow, that's circa what?
It's got 4 gigs of VRAM, so that's more than my desktop has.
That was released, that's a 2014 GPU.
It has CUDA cores, and it works.
Hey.
It's faster than the CPU.
Well, yeah. I mean.
And I didn't, it was on the shelf. It was in a retired machine, so that's how it is.
Wow. Some owners of the GTX 970 reported that it would often reach its VRAM allocation of 3.5 gigabytes instead of 4.
Well, my 1080 on my desktop has 2.
I don't know. I run Radeons, so I don't know what the, I can't remember. I think these are 4 or 6s.
I wouldn't ever have known if I didn't have to look it up trying to run these models.
I'm not in that. That's not my thing. I mean, you know, Tyler can immediately tell you that his has probably got like 150 or something. I'm being facetious, but it's got a lot. Because, I mean, we've talked about it. I think he spent $1,500 on that damn graphics card back, you know, at the tail end of COVID or what have you. But, I have to go look up. Number one, I can't even tell you what model I got right now. I have to go back and either have to look on the system or I have to pull up Amazon and go, what did I order? You know, because I've got one in my machine and I got one in Lee's gaming rig back there. I don't know what, and they were upgrades from the previous Radeon that I had. I don't remember how much VRAM, that didn't used to be a thing I had to fucking worry about, you know?
Never did. I thought, I mean, and honestly, 2 is enough. All I needed out of my video card was a support for 4 monitors.
Yeah.
That's the reason I ordered that card.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care about anything. It's not a gaming machine.
Right.
It's 4 monitors worth of Windows and
4 gigs of VRAM so that I can get 4 monitors. Yeah, I'm with you. Well, seems like you are getting into this a hell of a lot more than I am. I'm just this stuff is neat, but I don't have that itch. to play around with it like you do.
You know, when I look into it, I read about it, and honestly, my whole Twitter feed is all machine learning, math, AI.
So it's no longer cruising the crazy.
No, okay. No more crazy. There are some politics because, you know, I follow Elon Musk and Mark Andreessen, some others, but.
Well, you can't get away from Musk because he literally had his engineers write into the back end that everybody sees his tweets.
Oh, yeah. Who wouldn't?
Because he got butt hurt because other people were getting, you know, higher ranking than him. So he was just like, you need to change this, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Right. Yeah. You don't like it? Just go make your own.
Or I just don't or hang just out don't on
use
Twitter.
It. Just don't use it.
I just don't use it.
But so I see this and then I caught my eye yesterday about the Claude, the new.
Yeah.
The new one. We'll talk about that when it comes up. How about that?
I mean, we can jump down to it if you want to.
But, yeah, it's just so I look at this stuff and I see it all day. And then when I go to bed and I take my bedtime medicine, I have
Is that a metaphor or a euphemism or?
Well, it's a medicine. It's drugs that I take at bedtime. How about that?
Okay. I mean, I used to take bedtime medicine too, and it was a couple of shots. But that's been a few years.
So I start thinking a little bit broader about the future of all of this, and it's nutty.
Oh, so, I do that whenever I take Delta 8s.
Okay, well, that's your choice. So
your mind expands, and you really start thinking about this stuff.
Are you just kind of out of the box?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say expanded, not bigger. It's just escaped a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I've stumbled across this new model yesterday from an AI company called Anthropic.
Which is backed by Amazon.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yes.
They're doing cool stuff. They're like one of they are, as far as I can tell, about second to OpenAI.
OpenAI, yeah.
In popularity term.
Mm-hmm.
Their models are better at solving logical problems and creating code. And OpenAI and ChatGPT is more conversational and becoming humanistic.
Right.
So Anthropic has this new model, Claude, and it's Sonnet is the version.
Claude 3.5 Sonnet. And
as of yesterday, it's called the new Sonnet. But they didn't really rename. When they added the computer control, they didn't rename it. It was like, hey, the new one.
And then they also have 3.5 Haiku.
And I don't think that's quite generally available yet.
Okay.
But it is, I forget what I read about that, but the key thing is the computer control. Sonnet 3.5
mm-hmm.
can visually control a computer. It's not just sneak into the back end and run commands and manipulate the machine. No, it's clicking and dragging and right-clicking on the screen.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
So during their little demo, it was doing something. I think it was trying to write like a Web 2.0 website or something. Mm-hmm. And then it just goes off on its merry way and starts looking up pictures of Yellowstone.
Yeah.
My daughter had a question about that. She's like, it can't see. Why would it start looking up pictures? And I'm like, you got me. I mean, I don't know.
Well, essentially what it does is the agent that's running on the machine captures a screenshot.
Mm-hmm.
Of what the screen looks like and sends it out to Anthropic. That determines, it reads the screen, figures it out,
mm-hmm.
and then basically gives a coordinate on that screen and an action for that coordinate. So right click, left click. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
On the screen. Go to that area of the screen, these coordinates, press. And then when the action is taken, screen mm-hmm. changes, it sends another screenshot, comes back, you know, do this. And so the locally, you're just getting presses and
mm-hmm.
and UI actions.
Like one of us remoted into one of our clients' computers doing something.
Yeah. So the actual intelligence and mm-hmm. all of that, that's running at Anthropic. I don't think we can get those models and run those locally.
That would be interesting.
Kind of would be. That would make me relax as far as what's being sent up there.
Mm-hmm.
luckily, in this trial or this playground, the agent's running inside a Docker image.
Mm.
So it doesn't have, it's not going to find files locally.
It has no access to your actual machine.
It's a brand new machine.
Yeah.
It could over the network, theoretically.
I mean, it does have to get, it does have to have network access for it to get back to Anthropic.
Right.
So even though it's sort of sandboxed.
If you had public shares or,
yeah.
But here's the scary part. If it has known vulnerabilities and can reach out through SNMP or, you know, whatever other detection methods it are and find out what version of bind are you running? CVE such and such is, I'm going to try that. That's where it gets scary.
Yeah.
Is I could have an agent just go, hey, just go try to break into something. Go figure it out.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That literally is going to connect to another story we got in here.
This is why I want to know more about this.
Yes, I get it. I get it. I understand that.
I also want an assistant. I have this dream that I can get a ticket in or hear a request or something, and I go, I don't have time to do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to forget. But if I could just type into a chat window, download the drivers for this printer, and put them on the file share.
Right.
And then send a reminder if I haven't done this in 3 hours.
Worse.
If this ticket's not closed in 3 hours, remind me.
Worse. Type in the ticket. Download the drivers for this printer, and then remote into this PC and install them.
Or
that's some scary shit.
Or don't even remote, just hit a command line in there.
Yeah.
Don't interrupt the user. Hit a command line in there.
Well, that's true.
Configure it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or remote into the printer and send the, I don't know.
Yeah. What? That's still scary, man.
It is scary. But it's one of those really huge dichotomies. It could be really bad. Like if it gets bad, it's going to get absolutely horrendous. And if it's good, it's going to be
really
life changing.
Yeah. Or as my wife hates this term, it'll be a game changer.
I mean, it could make a whole lot of things more efficient.
Yeah. It could basically, you know, work us out of a job, but.
No, it's just going to make my job a little more thorough.
No, that's true. Yeah, I really don't see AI replacing us to that extent. I think it could wind up being a really good companion or assistant, as you say, to help us with a lot of the menial stuff.
I'm going to call mine Jarvis.
You would.
Just for shit's sake.
Is that trademarked?
Not in my book.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, what you've been talking about is this is actually over at Anthropic.com. They announced updates to its AI models with the introduction of the Claude 3.5 Sonnet, or you say now new Sonnet, Claude 3.5 Haiku. The upgraded Claude 3.5 Sonnet features significant improvements, particularly in coding and tool use tasks, outperforming previous models and benchmarks like SWE Bench and TAU Bench. Do you know what either one of those happens to be?
No, the charts get posted a lot in my Twitter feed.
Mm-hmm.
I never bother to go. I don't care that much yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not at that point where I'm comparing models and speeds. But I mean, it's just it's almost like a Turing test, but just pretty standardized task list. I bet I'm sure same task list for each model, and then see how it does on the same hardware.
Hmm. It's especially praised for its advancements in multi-step software development processes. The Claude 3.5 Haiku, set to release later this month, is faster and more affordable, surpassing previous models like Claude 3 Opus in many areas. And additionally, a groundbreaking new feature called computer use, which is what you were talking about, is now in public beta. This allows Claude 3.5 Sonnet to navigate and interact with computer interfaces, mimicking human actions like moving cursors and typing. Companies such as, Replit?
Oh, Replit?
Replit. Yeah. Replit and the browser company are already... The browser company, isn't that the one that does Arc?
Vendalia.
I think so. I'll have to look that up. But the browser company already utilizing this capability for complex tasks. And why is the browser company? Okay, that makes me question something. Although still experimental, this feature holds promise for automating processes, improving workflow with ongoing safety measures in place to prevent potential risks like misinformation and fraud. Sure. These developments aim to enhance AI's practical use in coding, automation, and computer interactions, paving the way for future advancements. Okay, I do need to know, because I'm thinking the browser company. Why does that? The browser company.
Yep.
They're the ones that do Arc. I don't know if you've ever tried to play around with Arc. It's a completely different paradigm for a browser. I just couldn't get into it. I'm too locked into using Edge. I don't care for Chrome. Ever since Edge went to being Chrome-based several years ago,
mm-hmm.
I just use Edge, and especially on my bigger monitors, I put the tabs on the side instead of going across the top, because Edge supports that by default. You can do something like that in Chrome with a plugin or an extension,
mm-hmm.
but Edge just seems to be faster than Chrome.
You know, I've just read, I keep reading about Chrome disabling ad.
That new manifest
recently
V3.
Happened or
yeah,
something. And a lot of folks are complaining
mm-hmm.
because they're getting more calls about pop-ups and viruses now that
yeah,
there's no ad blocker.
I use uBlock Origin religiously.
That's a big one that I've heard.
Yeah, and he does have a version of it that's really, really stripped down. And fortunately, the Manifest V3 version that I've downloaded and started using still solves the problem that I needed for it to solve. But what it doesn't allow you to do is all the other specialty lists and stuff that you supposedly, which I've never used in uBlock Origin,
mm-hmm.
but apparently that's what's going away in V3. My understanding is the manifest is not changing in Edge. So you can still use uBlock Origin in Edge, because Edge has its own add-on store, but you can also just with one click enable it to be able to use all of the extensions out of the Chrome store, which is where I use that version of uBlock Origin. But yeah, that damn thing is a lifesaver when it comes to all these freaking pop-ups of like, you know, hey, your antivirus software is out of date. You need to click here to renew and blah, 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 blah. And it's absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, so Claude, I've never used anything from Anthropic. I've never used Claude. There's a service called Po. Have you ever played around with it?
I think I've seen.
It's an aggregator, from what I can understand. Mm-hmm. You go to Po and it will, let's say I'm going to log in with Google. I'm going to log in as this podcast because this is fantastic audio. But it's an aggregator of all of them. Like when you go, you start a chat, you can, they actually have it where you can use Claude 3.5 Sonnet now. Assistant, web search, Claude 3.5 Sonnet, GPT-4o, O1-mini, Haluo, it's Hailuo-AI, Llama 31405B, Gemini 1.5 Pro, Mistral Media, ChatGPT-4o-latest, Gemini 1.5 Flash, ChatGPT-4o-mini, Llama 3170B, 318B, good God, Flux, Playground, Stable Diffusion 3.5L, DALL-E 3, Flux Pro, and the list just goes on and on and on. And so you have access at just going to po.com and logging in. I think they may have a paid tier. I don't know, but you can use all of those, apparently, in this one interface.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I suppose you have to have API keys for each one you want to try out, though, or unless they've got a kind of a free tier, or you pay them and they handle it.
Well, right now off the top, it's got Assistant, Web Search, and then it's got Claude 3.5 Sonnet. If you want to use any of the other ones, you have to click more and then select it. So I've selected Claude 3.5 Sonnet. What should I ask it? You know, can't think of anything right off the top of my head.
What, history or just trivia or?
Whatever. Who is going to win the 2024 presidential election?
It's not going to tell you. I'm going to use a lot of words to say I'm not allowed to tell you that.
It says, as of October 2024, the U.S. presidential election is still a couple of weeks away, scheduled for November 5th, 2024. While polling data and prediction exist, actual results are not yet known. The main candidates are Joe Biden and Donald Trump.
Yeah, it needs an update.
Yeah, it needs to update. So then it gives you a comparison. I can compare web search. I can compare GPT-40 Mini. So I'm going to do a comparison of GPT-40 Mini. Its response is, I can't predict the future, including the outcome of the 2024 presidential election. Let's see what Gemini 1 Flash does. It gives me a lot more. Predicting the winner of the 2024 presidential election this far in advance is impossible with certainty. The outcome will depend on numerous factors that are difficult, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's interesting, the fact that you can start out with one, and then at the bottom of it, it says, hey, compare with this one or compare with that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I first heard about Poe from Jason DeFilippo on Grumpy Old Geeks several months back. I played around with it a little bit that one day. It's like one of those things where, okay, I got 15 minutes. Play around with it. This is cool. And then I forget about it. So, all right. Well, that's the AI section of our show, as we normally have one. We always got to have one.
Yeah.
Because Ben's always going to bring the receipts. I'm sure of it.
Oh, and I just saw this today. Guy called Kyle Corbett. He says he's just launched Agent.exe, a free open source Mac, Windows, Linux app that lets you use Claude 3.5 Sonnet to control your computer. Says this was a fun little project to explore the API and see what the model can do. Computer use is really cool. I expect 2025 will be the year of agents.
Wow.
That's something to try. He's packaged not on my computer, but on not on a Docker image inside a VM, because that's been terribly slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not on my computer. Agent.exe.
Yeah. Seems legit.
God, that reminds me. What was it that Google did? They released something that was .exe, and people were like, have you gone nuts? It was just like, this is so easy to game. I can't remember what it was, but it was several months back.
Yeah, just email that to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Well, over at Bleeping Computer, we have more news about the Internet Archive, of course, known for its Wayback Machine. It suffered a data breach affecting 31 million users, not 3.1. That's 31. Donovan, put your glasses on. Hackers stole a 6.4 gigabyte SQL database containing user authentication information, including email addresses, screen names, and bcrypt hashtag passwords, and the breach was revealed through a JavaScript alert on the website. The stolen data was shared with the Have I Been Pwned service, where users can check if their information was compromised. And the Internet Archive was also facing DDoS attacks claimed by the Black Meta Hacktivist group. While both incidents are happening simultaneously, they are not believed to be connected. How could you not believe that they aren't connected? I mean, I suppose they don't have to be, but I don't believe in coincidence.
Well, this Twitter handle, VX Underground, they found out about that and just made a tweet, and I think posted the message that was displayed at Archive. And somehow people got mixed up and started blaming VX Underground for it, like just attacking VX Underground, thinking that they had hosed the Internet Archive, but
man,
it wasn't them.
Misinformation, so much.
It wasn't even misinformation. It was just misunderstood and became misinformation, which I think that's mostly the case.
Yeah. You know what? As I've gotten older, the one thing that I just really want is the truth. That's all I'm after. Mm. I just want people to tell me the damn truth. And I mean,
I heard someone pose that there's a difference between the truth and fact. No. From this perspective, it makes sense to me, if I can explain it.
Right.
So facts are facts. They're pieces of data.
Yes.
This happened. The sun is in the sky. Those kind of...
Right.
There's no
ambiguity there.
Right.
Yes.
But the truth is really how someone perceives something to be. Now, people can only think of political examples, but mm-hmm. people can say Donald Trump is an asshole, and that is the absolute truth to them.
Now, that's actually a fact, but...
You've never met him.
I know, and I never will.
What? He was just at the McDonald's the other day. I mean,
I know.
We hung out.
Yeah, I know.
So, I forget what example he used, but it was back way back in Copernicus days. Everybody thought the sun went around the earth.
Correct.
That was the truth as far as they knew it. They didn't have facts back then.
Yeah.
I'll grant them that. But that was
the truth
believed by most folks. That was the truth. But it was not fact.
I get what you're saying.
If you tell someone something and you believe it to be true, you're telling them the truth, even if you're wrong.
You're telling them a truth.
You're telling them your truth.
Yeah, you're telling them your truth. I am reminded, I don't know if you've ever watched Babylon 5, one of the best sci-fi series ever created, right there with Star Trek and all of that. But there's a line in it that's like, the truth is like a three-edged sword. Your truth, my truth, and the actual truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like...
It's similar.
Yeah, it is similar. But there are just certain... There are times when the truth and facts are the same thing. And I guess that's what I'm after is... factual truth is what I'm after.
Yeah, I want accurate facts.
Yeah.
I don't want what someone thought happened. I want to know, did someone break into the CIA?
Yeah.
What time did they do it?
Yeah.
What rooms did they enter?
Yeah. What did they steal?
What is now missing?
Yes.
Tell me exactly those things and nothing else. That's mm-hmm. what I'd like to know. And there was no incident at the CIA. I just made that shit up.
Well, it's like if you've ever... Have you ever watched Reacher on Amazon Prime?
Yeah, the new one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the first season, his big thing was details matter.
I think it's through the whole series.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's all in the books, too, but it's like details matter.
Yeah.
He was just like really drilling it down. So when it comes to things like this with the Internet Archive, details matter. And to go after somebody on Twitter that's just like, hey, we're letting you know that this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly it's like, you did this.
Yeah.
What? No.
How could you?
How could you do it? We didn't do it. You know, don't kill the messenger.
Yeah, they survived.
Well, maybe the Internet Archive. Because another thing that I read also was during all of this, and I did this at the very beginning, but then I discovered it probably wasn't the smartest move. There's a lot of podcasts that are hosted on the Internet Archive.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Yes. Matter of fact, you can still find some of the old episodes of the South Geek Ramble and Review on the Internet Archive, where I hosted them there because it was free. And so apparently there's still a large number of people that do that.
Yeah.
Those podcasts went offline because of all of this. So,
you know, I learned that it's not just the Wayback Machine. Through all this,
mm-hmm.
People have been uploading scans of owner's manuals,
mm-hmm.
power tools from the 70s and shit, things you can't find anymore.
Yeah, and
they'll just scan it and upload it.
It's
just
a great resource.
It's never completely lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody posed, I was like, why don't we back up the Internet Archive? I'm like, oh, shit.
Where?
Somewhere I read that it's 950-ish petabytes.
Wow.
Where?
Yeah.
Where?
Where? And they do all of this, they pay for all of this just through donations.
Somehow, yeah.
Let's back up the Internet Archive. Where? On Mars? Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Okay.
On whose hard drive?
Yeah, on whose hard drive? Y'all better get to work on that DNA storage technology. You know, which they are working on. I mean, they've done stuff like that.
Yeah, I've heard the theory of it, but
I want crystals.
It'll probably cause cancer.
Yeah. I mean, cancer causes cancer.
Yeah, if you have too much cancer, you'll probably get cancer.
You'll probably get cancer. We're not joking about people who have cancer. Our hearts go out to anybody that is suffering from that. But
I mean, remember, child care. That sponsorship.
Child care is child care. And only political aficionados will know exactly what that's from. Anyway, that's a different show. go over and talk to, go over to Good Talk America if you want that kind of stuff. So we have the disappearance of an internet domain.
Oh, yeah.
So the transfer of the Chagos, I think is how you say this. I remember Philip talked about this on his show. The Chagos Islands from the UK to, how do you say that? Mauritius? Mauritius? M-A...
Yeah, it could be Mauritius.
Mauritius. Anyway, it could spell the end of the popular .io domain, widely used in tech and gaming. Gareth Edwards explains that since .io is linked to the soon-to-be-dissolved British Indian Ocean Territory, the Internet Assigned Numbers Authority, also known as IANA, may start retiring the domain. He highlights past geopolitical changes like the fall of the USSR and Yugoslavia that caused similar domain disruptions, urging caution to tech founders when choosing country-based domains. You know, that's something that I don't think a lot of people understand. We started out, of course, with the mainly the three. We had the dot, we had the .com, which was the most popular.
Right.
We had the .net.
.org.
We had the .org. And then we started, actually, I think probably one of the very first ones was probably .edu, because think about it, the internet was all campus-based. It was college and all of that.
And then .gov.
.gov.
Yeah.
And, you know, back in the early, early days, you didn't even have to pay for your domain. And then,
really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You could get a domain, and I mean early. But then they realized, wait a minute, there's money to be made. So it was, what was it, Network Solutions?
Mm-hmm.
Got a contract with the government, basically, to, and this was back when domains were expensive. A .com would cost you like $99 a year.
Mm.
You know, now I get .coms through Cloudflare for $10.44 a year. So
some of mine are $8.
Yeah, yeah. We previously went down our whole list of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, as cool as .io was, you know, input, output.
Yeah.
I get it. I understand that. But then you have something like this happen, and it's like, shit. You know, our entire company, not us, but someone could say, our entire company is based off of .io.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't think of a single one, but I know I've seen
I've used
so many.
Some of them.
Yeah.
Even some of the AI companies wound up with .ios instead of, because is there a .ai?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, okay. But
it seems like you can just make the shit up and they'll register it for you. Because there's
a process of going through the getting a
TLD. Yeah, I know there's an official TLD, but I mean, it's
because
it started with jobs and now photo. And I swear I saw dogs the other day.
Let's see. I want.
There's .online.
All right. So I just go to Namecheap and I'm like, I'm looking at all of these. XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
Testme.io was registered in 2014. Testme.inc, .me, .pro, .info, .live, .art, .online, .tech, .store, .click, .my, .is, .cc.
Mm-hmm.
One of my, I still own, .cc, but I own adkissen.co.
Yeah, I've got a CO domain.
.so.ac.cx.sh. And then it's like .name. And then it's like explore 400 plus additional extensions. Good God.
Yeah.
Hey, if I wanted to get testme.xyz, it's $1,988. But it renews at $15.98 a year, $15.98 a year.
So, well, it's already registered. You have to buy it.
It's shown as a premium.
Mm.
Testme.inc is 52% off, so you can get it for $998.98, where it normally retails for $2,098. It's unfortunate, but what this really leads me to believe is if you can stick with a .com, a .net, or a .org, you're probably better off.
Yeah, but I don't see the whole IO TLD going away.
I mean,
is it scheduled to just disappear?
I mean, somebody's...
It'll belong somewhere.
It's got to belong to somebody.
They can buy it there.
I mean,
you just, you know, you got to get that done before the DNS records expire. So let you push your TTL for as high as it'll go, and then go find whoever you can register it through.
GitHub.io, that's one of them. Gaming site itch.io, Google.io.
Oh, yeah, they're going down.
which arguably kicked off the trend in 08. Since 1968, the UK and the US have operated a major military base on the Chagos Islands, officially known as the British Indian Ocean Territory. Let's see. I was trying to read deeper into this. Once this treaty is signed, the British Indian Ocean Territory will cease to exist. Various international bodies will update their records. In particular, the International Standard for Organization, also known as ISO, will remove country code IO from its specification. The Internet Assigned Numbers Authority, which creates and delegates top-level domains, uses this specification to determine which top-level country domains should exist. Once IO is removed, the IANA will refuse to allow any new registrations with a .io domain. It will also automatically begin the process of retiring existing ones. There is no official count of the number of extant .io domains. Officially, .io and countless websites will disappear. At a time when domains can go for millions of dollars, it's a shocking reminder that there are forces outside of the internet that still affect our digital lives. So according to this, it's going away unless IANA breaks their longstanding rule of not following the ISO registrations.
Look, if they can have XXX and books and online and, I don't know, probably shelving, why can't they just reinstate it as a general TLD? Because it's not going to be
representative
of a country.
Yeah. Why does it have to be? I'm with you on that. I don't understand that.
I mean, there's potentially billions lost with this, when that goes away. There's got to be a way to save it. They act like they're fighting a machine. I mean, there's just people making a decision.
That's true. It says the removal of an entire country or territory from the world map is incredibly rare. So one may ask why the process of deleting a domain is so clearly documented and so automatic, so final. The answer is simple. History. Apparently it's happened before.
Did they write up that procedure last time a country just fell off the earth and now they have to follow them rules?
On September 19th, 1990, the IANA created and delegated the top-level domain .su to the USSR. Less than a year later, the USSR collapsed. At the time, nobody thought about what would happen with the .su domain. The internet, as we know it, was still years away. So the .su domain was handed to Russia to operate alongside its own .ru. The Russian government agreed that it would eventually be shut down, but no clear rules around its governance or when that should happen were defined. But ambiguity is the worst thing for a top-level domain. Unknowingly, this decision created an environment in which .su became a digital Wild West. Today, it is a barely policed top-level domain, a plausibly deniable home for Russian dark ops, and a place where supremacist content and cybercrime have found cover. So they have a reason to want to get rid of this, but I'm with you. What? They just, see, to me, they made a mistake here. They just handed it over to Russia, and Russia's like, okay, well, we'll operate it
the
along with
the problem is
RU.
That was probably known to maybe 30 people in the United States because that was before, 2 years before the internet was publicly available through dial-up.
That's true.
Like, nobody knew about it. Nobody would know what they were talking about if they were presenting it on the news, and no one would know what they were hearing if they were hearing that on the news.
That's true.
Big news in the RU domain, or the SU Soviet Union's TLD. Get this, folks. And everybody's like,
the what?
What the fuck are you talking about? I'm going to just drink this squirt. Wear this No Fear t-shirt.
Exactly. Okay, so Tom's Hardware is talking about, I have heard about this over and over and over, about this Bitcoin hard drive.
I've heard that years ago, and I was like, oh, so, sucks to be him.
I know. So now James Howells, a Welsh man who lost a hard drive containing 8,000 Bitcoins worth $538 million.
Mm-hmm.
Is suing Newport Council for $644 million after they refused to let him search the town's landfill. Howells has been battling the council since 2013 to recover his lost cryptocurrency, but has faced repeated rejections due to environmental concerns. He offered the council a 10% share of the recovered bitcoins and proposed a $13 million excavation project, but the council has deemed the lawsuit weak and continues to oppose his efforts. The case is set to be heard in court this December. This reminds me of the story of the guy, not as bad, but early days of Bitcoin, when you could actually use Bitcoin to buy pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And that Bitcoin that he used to buy pizza is now worth like millions.
Yeah.
You know? And so this is the same scenario where this guy apparently accidentally threw out the hard drive that had his Bitcoin wallet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Leo's even talked about it with Twit, how he forgot the password to his Bitcoin wallet. And he's probably got, he said it kind of makes him sick. I don't know how much. I don't know if he's got millions in there, but he's got multi-thousands of dollars easily, mm-hmm. he says, that in there. And the thing is, if you screw up, apparently, because I've never had a Bitcoin wallet. Yeah. I've never dealt with any crypto at mm-hmm. all. Don't plan on doing it. But apparently, if you screw up the password so many times, it deletes the wallet. So,
yeah, I mean, it's got security built in.
Yeah.
It's just how it works.
I mean,
that's why I never created a wallet, because
yeah.
I knew I'd forget about it, and then it's over.
Yep. I use password managers because I don't know any of my passwords. I feel for this guy. I mean, it would make me sick knowing that I could be a multimillionaire if I could just find this damn drive. And what gets me is a government. Now, granted, this is not in the U.S.
It's the same. Small town.
But a government that actually says no to free money. Think about it. I mean, he's like, look, I will pay you 10% of what we recover out of this. You know, $13 million for an excavation. You can have this money. I just need the right to go into the landfill and start tracking down and seeing if I can find this hard drive. And that's assuming that it's even in condition to be able to be read. Because if it's a mechanical drive, there's...
Also, it's 10 years of trash on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It's deep.
Yeah.
It's done.
I don't think it's... I don't think it was
salvageable.
If
he spent $13 million to go in there and get it, and he found it, and he could not recover it, like, what? Did he already have the $13 million?
No, I think he's basing that on...
Yeah, I think borrowing against it, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, if you can't get... You can't salvage the data, then you have to... Then you pay one of these data recovery companies, probably millions of dollars.
They know what's on it, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we'll do it for $20 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I feel for him, but, he might as well just write that off. He's done.
Yeah. I would have given up long before.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
All right. So going back to AI connectivity, because not directly, but indirectly, you shared this one. Cybersecurity burnout crisis is reaching the breaking point.
Yeah, I brought that up because I relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not a threat hunter. I'm not in cybersecurity as a career, yep. but it worries the shit out of me.
Oh, I made the comment.
And just thinking about it and the difficulty in getting clients to buy in
mm-hmm.
with you to be as worried about it, they're not.
Yeah.
And if they're not going to pay for it, I can't provide it. So I'm just planning my lawn care career.
Yeah, I told my wife yesterday after you shared this, I told her, I said, it's a really good article. And I said, I understand, you know, we are probably one ransomware client away from losing business. I said, because I can tell you for a fact that I've got probably one client I know of, possibly two, that if their systems were compromised, I would no longer be deemed a trustworthy person to do business with. And I said, yeah. That's a reason why when I'm asked about this, I have told them, I said, look, if a company tells you that you are 100% protected, they are lying to you.
Absolutely.
That is not going to happen.
Yeah.
I said, all I can do is be vigilant, best effort, you know, antivirus, malware protection, whatever level that you're willing to pay for,
mm-hmm.
and constantly monitor, and have contingency plans of being able to get the systems back up as quickly as humanly possible,
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, the hit to your business is negligible. That is all I can promise you that I will be able to do or attempt to do.
Yeah, everything's best effort.
It is all best effort.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I mean, when you look at EDR, then you look at MDR, I can't get
now clients, XDR.
Yeah, I can't get clients to buy into that because it's freaking expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive. I'm about to make it mandatory because if I have no way to pick it apart when there's a crater,
yeah,
that we just fuck it, buy a new building and we'll just start over. That's where we're gonna be. I don't want to plug any of this stuff back in.
Yeah,
if it got that bad, but so there's no client isolation. There's no trace of how a process got in, what it touched, and there's no logs. There's nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've had a negative experience with EDR.
There's only about 250 vendors now.
Yeah. Well, mine was Sentinel One.
I heard good things about it, and then I heard bad things about it.
My experience was it hammered the machines.
That's been my experience with EDR everywhere.
Yeah.
It's heavy.
I had it on a server. I had it on a server for this one client in the medical field, and I had to take it off. I mean, I was running it at its lowest setting,
mm-hmm.
and we run this backup process every night that literally takes from 10 o'clock until 7 o'clock the next morning because we are capturing an entire image of the data drive every night. It pushed that to the point where it was still backing up at 10 o'clock the next day because it was sitting there looking and looking and looking and monitoring and watching everything. And the company that I'm with, which I use is Enable,
mm-hmm.
they started really giving me the pitch about 6 months ago about MDR. And I got on a conference call with them. I looked at all their slides and all this other kind of stuff. And I expressed to my account manager, I said, I've had a very negative experience with EDR. And I said, I understand that MDR is nothing more than EDR is still what's on there. But now you got a group of people in a NOC looking at all of this stuff. I understand that.
MDR is managed EDR.
Yeah.
And it's just you're not the only one looking out. And
right.
I kind of like that.
I do.
But I'd like to know the folks too.
Yeah. And I said, you know, my experience has been, it degraded performance of the machines too much. And so he actually looped in one of the tech people there. And the guy told me, he said, well, you could have done this, this, and this. And I'm like, the documentation was not there.
That's a big problem.
That's another problem I have with this is it's like these companies, they push, you know, get EDR, get MDR, get XDR. And it's like, okay, I'll sign up for it. And then you hear nothing but crickets.
Our industry is clearly sales first.
Yeah.
I've had salesmen on the line for 3 months now. I'm going to step up to the K365 with, it was MDR with Rocket Cyber, Kaseya bought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all Kaseya's acquisitions, and they'll just add it to their catalog, and they'll figure out how to make it all work together eventually.
Right.
So, and I keep asking questions. I was like, so where's this SOC that you talk about? Where are they?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do I know it's 24-hour staff? How do I convince my client that they aren't snooping on my client?
Yeah.
Who are they?
Yeah.
And where do they work? What building are they in? I'll go down to Miami and see them. I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. And why is your fucking deal 3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if it sucks, I can stop using it, but I got to pay. I still have to pay the bill.
I had the same problem. I was like,
I think we've gone on a tangent, but still.
Well,
it's time to talk about our industry and the fucking
it
problems.
It goes into the fact the reason why we're looking at burnout is because of it's not only the fact that we have to remain so vigilant about all of this stuff, it's the fact that we're getting inundated from left and right and front and back from all of these fucking vendors going, use my product, use this, use that. But, oh, by the way, what they offered me was they looked at the number of clients I had, and I said, okay, at that number of clients, we're going to give you a deal. We're going to let you have it at what it cost you for the managed antivirus for the first 6 months. All right. Then it's going to go up by X amount. I'm like, okay. I said, am I locked into that number of endpoints? What if I lose a client? You know, heaven forbid. But what if I lose a client and I drop out maybe 40 endpoints? You're going to still have to pay for it.
You have to replace that client.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. And I was like, well, we really can't. I'm like, I'm not doing it. If you lock me in to X number based on what I have right now, and I have, let's say I even have a small company, let's say it's just 10 endpoints, they go out of business. I need to drop those 10 off, but you're going to continue to make me pay for this for the next 2 or 3 years. I'm not doing it. They literally came back to me earlier this week and said, what if I let you have it at this price, but you can remove clients? And I went, I'm good. Thanks. I don't feel the need right now to do EDR. I just don't.
I want EDR. I want that process trace and that at least another pair of eyes, little more granularity in what's going on instead of just running antivirus and going, hey, everything looks, you know, board's green. How the f*** do I know? I just want more visibility, but not at the cost of performance.
That's my problem. I literally would need to go in and say, okay, well, we're going to move everybody over to EDR, but we're also going to have to replace the PCs. So now every PC's got 64 gigs of RAM, is running a 14th generation Intel whatever.
Yeah.
And we're doing NVMe PCI 5.0.
Oh, and they need high GPUs because they're going to be running their own AI agents to manage themselves.
Oh, yeah. So we've got to have 4090s or something in them. I mean, no.
Yeah. Yeah. It's only about $2,900 a machine.
And I need to replace 42 of them.
Every 3 years.
And that server that's only 5 years old, forget that. We got to scratch it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's got to have 4 Xeon CPUs
in it. Oh, and 14 H100 GPUs.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, come on, guys. I do understand where you're coming from. I do get a little uncomfortable, but so far, knock on my thick skull.
Yeah, I'm good so far.
I'm holding on as tightly as I can, you know? And I'm just like, every little thing I can lock down, I do it. And this thing that you shared, it was like cybersecurity sector is facing a critical burnout crisis with a recent Black Fog study revealing that nearly 25% of CISOs?
I say CISOs.
And IT security leaders are contemplating leaving their positions due to overwhelming stress. The increase in sophisticated cyber threats, including AI-driven attacks and ransomware, coupled with excessive workloads averaging 9 additional hours per week, has exacerbated the crisis. As security leaders constantly respond to incidents, they struggle to implement long-term strategies, further contributing to their burnout. Side note, something we've already mentioned too, clients don't see the benefit of the increased cost until it's too late.
Until there's a hole in the ground and I could maybe put this back together, but not now.
Despite some positive coping mechanisms, such as prioritizing physical health and maintaining boundaries between work and personal life, making multiple trips to the bar. No, that's not in here. Many leaders resort to unhealthy methods like substance. Oh, there it is.
Yep.
Substance use and social withdrawal to manage stress. To combat this crisis, organizations need to provide better support, including increased budgets, resources, and a culture prioritizing mental health. Without these changes, organizations risk losing top talent and leaving themselves vulnerable to emerging threats. And they're talking about people that are working within organizations. They're not even touching on people like us that own our own businesses and do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are the ultimate responsible ones for our clients.
I bet MSPs have control or manage a much higher number of endpoints in the country than any one IT department.
Yeah.
Except maybe some at Amazon, Facebook. Because if you count a VM as an endpoint, they probably got us beat. But that's why when they've started cracking down on some RMM tools, like the Kaseya breach, and the solar winds thing, that scares me too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they get into just my tenant, it's not going to be a huge thing.
Right.
But if they get into the core of the RMM that I use.
Yeah. What's our recourse?
Hundreds of thousands of endpoints.
Yeah. Yeah. What's our recourse at that point? I mean,
go ahead and get the graphics on the side of the trailer. Start your lawn mowing company.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
a house painting.
I don't plan on doing this for the rest of my life. That's for sure. But I'm not ready to jump ship quite yet because
I'm ready to just do the right thing. I just need enough customers so that I can still pay the bills and do the right thing.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. So now we're moving on to air taxis and other electric powered aircraft cleared for takeoff with the final FAA rules.
I think I saw these type things on the, I think it was the either Curiosity or Smithsonian channel. They were talking about these like small, basically just a huge quadcopter.
Yeah.
That just sit in and it takes you places.
Yep. I want one.
I want to.
We'll go to clients that way. Land on their roof. I need roof access everywhere.
Yeah. Fuck it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
I'd do it.
So they have released, the FAA has released final regulation for, they're called electric vertical takeoff and landing, also known as eVTOL.
VTOL. Yeah.
Yeah. eVTOL aircraft. Marking the first new aircraft category since helicopters in the 1940s.
Hmm.
Wow. These powered lift, in quotes, vehicles are expected to revolutionize air transport, including air taxis, cargo delivery, and rescue operations. The new rules establish pilot training guidelines and operational requirements like minimum safe altitudes and visibility standards. The rules address industry concerns by introducing a comprehensive framework for training pilots and instructors. They modify existing regulations, allowing single flight control for training and applying helicopter regulations to some flight phases. While no powered lift aircraft are commercially operational yet, companies like Joby Aviation and Archer are making progress toward certification. I guess that's how you pronounce it, Joby, J-O-B-Y. Joby Aviation praised the FAA's efforts to release the rules ahead of schedule, ensuring the U.S. maintains leadership in clean aviation technologies. Because they're electric. Oh, yeah. I want one. I do want one.
You have to be a pilot?
See, that's what I'm thinking.
I want to give this thing an address and sit down. That's all I want to do.
We're not there yet. And Tesla's not going to make one of these.
As it happens, I can't afford one yet.
Yeah. And if Tesla did make one of these, I wouldn't put my ass in it.
Nope. Because they won't use LiDAR.
Exactly.
Fucking idiots.
Exactly. Because that jumps us. Yeah, that actually jumps us down to another article. We might as well go down to that one. Fatal Tesla crash with full self-driving supervised triggers NHTSA investigation. So the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has launched an investigation into Tesla's full self-driving system after a fatal crash raised concerns about its ability to handle low visibility conditions. The crash reports, called Standard General Orders, or SGOs, revealed a troubling pattern of accidents involving Tesla vehicles in situations with reduced visibility, such as sun glare, fog, or airborne dust. And one, I mean, hell, I have trouble seeing that.
That's all three today.
Yes, exactly. In one case, a pedestrian was fatally struck and another crash resulted in an injury. The NHTSA's Office of Defect Investigation, ODI, is conducting a preliminary evaluation to assess FSD's ability to detect and respond to these conditions and to determine whether similar crashes have occurred. They will also examine any system updates Tesla may have made to address these issues. This evaluation is a step that could lead to a recall, though Tesla has previously avoided major recalls through over-the-air software updates. Critics note that Tesla's current hardware may not be sufficient to handle many weather conditions, limiting the system's ability to achieve full autonomy. And I think we were on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
When they removed LiDAR from the cars and just said, the cameras are good enough, this made no sense to me.
Yeah, Elon's like, we don't need LiDAR. We can just do it with vision. I'm like, I believe you can try. And I believe you can maybe do it. But if you had LiDAR, you'd be a little bit more sure.
I mean, he had it on the first version,
close,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well, go back to the version one car and put this new, these new algorithms in it.
Mm-hmm.
See what happens.
Yeah. Wasn't the first one the Roadster?
Well, the first one with any kind of self-driving stuff was the S, I believe.
The S?
Mm-hmm.
Model S, okay.
Because they haven't, the Roadster was a modified Lotus.
That's right.
So they didn't have, I mean, that wasn't designed from the ground up by them, but the Model S was. So I bet that's the one that's got LiDAR. Mm-hmm. And maybe early Model 3, maybe. I don't know.
Not the one floating out in space.
Yeah, not the Cybertruck.
Damn Cybertruck.
Would you, can you imagine what somebody would look like if they got nailed by a Cybertruck because it didn't see him? I mean, it's a knife. It's a huge knife.
Yeah. Yeah. But then again, the build quality of that thing, I'm not sure who would get damaged more, the truck or the pedestrian.
Oh, no, the truck will stay together. It's just more of whatever you hit will go under the hood.
Yeah.
And in between the fender and...
Yeah.
Ugh, you just collect more of the person or deer.
I have, I have heard, read, et cetera, that there's a lot of, and I can't substantiate this because I don't, you know, I haven't talked to anybody. I don't know anybody personally that owns a Tesla. But there's a lot of buyer's remorse when it comes to Teslas nowadays for a number of reasons. One, all of the issues that are with the cars, they're not well built. Issues with the software, like we're talking here, and, you know, issues with Elon himself. You know, it's especially out in California, and especially a lot of your left-leaning people that were all, you know, touting electric vehicles and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, I don't own a Tesla. You know, they're selling those things and buying Rivians.
But we let Fisker go into the ocean.
It's all MKBHD's fault. Not really.
Have you seen the shit he's been getting lately?
Oh, when he did the panels app?
Yeah, and yeah. Some comment he made about the taxi, the robo-taxi.
Oh,
and,
yeah, and I saw that when he, well, he's not wrong. He said that if Elon Musk releases the cyber-taxi before 2027, he'll shave his head because he does not believe, based on Elon's track record, that he will actually be able to get that vehicle out the door by 2027.
Now, what I saw was his comment about the efficiency of the inductive charge. He's like, there's so much heat wasted. And Tesla responded, it's over 90% efficient. I mean, you can't think that they've figured it out. It's not the same as your Apple Watch charger.
As far as I know, though, it's the first time that anybody's ever tried inductive charging on a vehicle like that.
Yeah.
I don't trust Tesla. I'm with Marquez on this. I don't believe Tesla when they say that it's 90% efficient. There's no way.
Well, it was the company that said Cybertruck was going to be 70,000 and would get 500 miles to a charge.
Yeah, they've got a history here of not actually being true.
But that wasn't Elon.
But it was their truth.
It wasn't Elon. It was Tesla's account saying it's over 90% efficient.
But it was their truth. Is that factual?
It was their truth. It was a long time ago. Wise men said to me, figures don't lie, but liars can figure.
There you go.
So,
I don't know.
Who knows? But anyway, he caught shit for that too.
Yeah.
Now, and when you talk about Tesla's being on time for release something, mm-hmm. sure, I'll say it. Mm-hmm. I'll shave my head in 2030 if they're not out, or if they come out before 2030.
Yeah.
And haven't killed anybody.
Yeah. Let's not even mention, but we're going to the robots that were literally being controlled by humans and the
voice. I called it during the live stream event.
Yeah.
I was watching it and I saw those. I was like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
There's no way those are fully autonomous. Those are avatars. And I posted a tweet. I wanted that
mm-hmm.
in time. I said, I'll bet $10 anybody that these are not fully autonomous tonight. Like, not, they could be one day.
Yeah. But not tonight.
But there's no way I would let, a beta version out in a crowd of people.
Mm-hmm. And certain drinks and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was like, oh yeah, that's cool. No, he's looking out in the crowd giving peace signs. There's no reason an autonomous model would do that.
I did see a blurb where one of the reporters actually asked one of the robots, "Is like, are you fully autonomous?" And it waited a few seconds, and then it said, "Unfortunately, not right now.
Yeah, not right now. Tonight, I'm controlled by a human." Yeah, I saw that video, mm-hmm. but and then later the next day, I saw that video, and I responded to my tweet and said, "You all owe me $10."
So did anybody send you $10?
Not yet.
Yeah,
I'm not that popular.
Mm. Yeah. Me either, not on Twitter, not in life. So there you go.
Yeah, I kind of like it that way.
Yeah, that's, you know, we kind of fly under the radar.
I get to drive fancy convertible sports cars.
Hello. Fancy. Raggedy Ann.
Raggedy Ann.
Do you have any Kindles? Amazon Kindles?
I've got an original, maybe like a second. Bought it in 2011.
Yeah.
It's in a box in the bottom of a closet somewhere.
We came across mine a few months back. Of course, it was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget which model it was, but you know, it was the standard. Had the keys on the bottom.
Yeah.
And you know,
there's the back and forth buttons on the sides. Yeah.
I mean, I used it for a fair amount of.
I like the display.
Yeah. But what do you think about Amazon announced the first Kindle with a color screen? It's about $279.
I'm 46 years old and I like books.
I can't
give a shit. I can't read on an iPad. I almost don't like reading on a computer screen, but certainly not a tablet.
There is something about going back old school with books.
To me, it's more the, I will lose my place. I can put this book down,
mm-hmm.
face down, or put a bookmark in it and come mm-hmm. back to it in 2 days. And I can just back up a couple of pages, catch back up, and then we're good.
Yeah.
I'll likely never see that Kindle if I put it down. That's not, I finally get to read my Kindle.
Yeah.
No. It's one page at a time. There's no
tactile sensation.
That's how I started reading.
Yeah.
And that's just how I'm comfortable reading.
Yeah. I actually stopped. I've read several books on my original Kindle. And then when they had the app, I was like, I don't need this anymore. So I started reading on my phone. Mm. And I'm that guy. And I've read a little bit on my iPad. But I stopped buying Kindle books. If there's a book that I'm interested in, I will buy. If the hardcover is available, I go hardcover. Because I want that. I want that sturdiness.
Yeah.
If it's not available, then of course I'll get the paperback. Now, there's also one other caveat to that. If the paperback is 15 and the hardcover is 50, Donovan's getting the paperback.
Yeah, I would love to have all hardcover.
Yeah.
But it's usually $55 for the hardcover. I just ordered a couple of books, one on Docker.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other one on Kubernetes. And I think hardcover editions were available, but they were $45 to $60.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'm only going to read these once. Maybe once.
Right.
Maybe 0.46 times. Because I'll just get what I need
and then
I'll put it on a shelf.
I mean, over there, it's covered up, but there's a bookshelf behind the other computer desk over there. And there's a bunch of books over there that I haven't cracked in. I think there's a how-to Linux book from like when Fedora 3 came out or some shit. I mean, one thing I was looking for. So Lee's birthday was earlier this month. I bought her this. I come across it. I think I fell victim to an Instagram ad or something. But when I saw it, I was like, this is neat. Can't remember if exactly that's where it is. But it's called The Book. The Ultimate Guide to Rebuilding a Civilization, Inspirational Science Books for Adults, Unique Artifact, Knowledge Encyclopedia with over 400 pages of detailed and catchy illustrations. This book is heavy. This book is probably, it's a foot tall, probably about 10 inches wide, weighs, I'm going to say 10 pounds. This book cost me $128, but she absolutely loves it.
Paper and color print.
Oh, yeah. And her only complaint is the fact that the text is too small. She's like, yeah. it could have made the images a little smaller. It made the text a little bigger. And I'm like, okay. But these are like hand-done illustrations is what it looks like. And it's stuff like how to build a trebuchet. I mean, it's little how to build a fire.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And the paper doesn't feel like it, but it looks like parchment. So it's a very nice, like, coffee table type book.
It's quality production.
Yeah. And so when I gave it to her and I told her, I said, look, I don't normally tell you this, but you need to understand how you need to guard this book with your life. This book was $128 that I got you for your birthday. And she looked at me and she goes, no fucking way. And I was like, yes, yes. So take care of it,
ancient
please.
Relic, physical book.
And she was like, and of course she burst into tears and all of that. but yeah, so that's where I am. I'm not a big book buyer now, but occasionally I'll come across something. And I'm like, Brian Tyler Cohen's got a book that I've got in my list that I want to buy. And if you probably don't know who he is, but he's a political commentator on YouTube and what have you. And, you know, I think it was like, even just a paperback was like $28 or something. So books are expensive now, but I still do prefer them over trying to read it on my phone now.
Yeah.
I've gone completely, I've done a 180, you know. 15 years ago, I was all like, heck yeah, I got all these books in my Kindle, you know, everything I've got in this, on this shelf right here in my hand. And now I'm like, no, I need a couple more.
Can I borrow your book on WordPress?
Yeah.
You're like,
let's see. Is there
just a couple of weeks?
Is there a share option?
Can I just take your phone? I'll bring it back when I'm done.
Yeah. Just bring my phone back. Yeah.
That's the other thing. They're hard to lend.
Yeah, that's true. So I don't know why Amazon's doing this. I would not want a color. I've already got a color Kindle. It's called an iPad.
Yeah, but this isn't backlit, I assume. It's like the e-paper.
It is a color. It's called Kindle ColorSoft. Says it marks a major change since the Kindle's 2007 launch. Previous models only featured black and white screens. The new color screen is designed to prevent colors from looking washed out or pixelated, even during zoomed-in viewing. It has weeks of battery life, in quotes, and is available pre-order ahead of October 30th release.
So it's not backlit.
I don't think so. They released some other stuff. $399 Kindle Scribe with new note-taking capabilities, including the ability to annotate ebooks directly on the page and summarize notes using AI. The Kindle Paperwhite, now priced at $159, boasts a faster performance and a larger 7-inch screen. Ooh, 7-inch screen.
Seven.
I have a...
Isn't my phone like 6.2?
Yep, I've got... That's an Amazon tablet right there. 7-inch screen. But yeah, yours... you got the 15 Pro Max. Yours like 6.7. Yeah, 6.7.
So it's basically a Kindle.
Yeah, it's basically a Kindle. Yeah, the Pros are 6.2, 6.3, depending on whether it's the 15 or the 16. I think we've talked about this before, but you don't really pay for any kind of, you don't pay for cable.
No.
But True Vista has their own True Vista streaming service where you get traditional cable channels, but you don't pay for anything like YouTube TV or anything like that.
No, I have Fubo.
Yeah, okay.
Fubo and Apple TV Plus, with the Apple One thing.
Yeah.
But
you do Netflix or any of that kind
Netflix,
of stuff? Yeah.
One screen at a time.
Yeah.
But I think I've been forced into two.
That's right. We talked about that because you joked about, you know, they can just come watch what I want to watch or they can wait.
Yeah.
Well, YouTube has quietly upgraded its DVR feature to offer 1080p enhanced resolution, improving the picture quality of recorded content. Previously, this enhanced resolution was only available for the live streams, but now recorded shows and movies will display sharper details and fewer compression artifacts, creating a better viewing experience. You know, that does bring up a question I have. Does any of these streaming, Netflix does, Disney does, but do any of these streaming services that are like cable package replacements, do any of them do 4K? I don't remember any of them doing 4K.
Fubo has a couple of 4K channels.
Really?
But they're not on all the time.
Okay.
Like the Fox Sports has a 4K.
Sports channels make sense.
And maybe History or But it's not a lot.
Yeah.
And honestly, a big difference to me.
Yeah.
We have two of our TVs can do 4K. But my big TV that I'll watch all, you know,
yeah,
it's only a 1080p.
Honestly, anytime I watch stuff on Netflix or I watch it on Disney that's like 4K, like, you know, movies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm watching it on a 4K television, but I've seen those same things on the smaller TV we have in the courtroom, which is a 1080p. Looks just as good to me. So
I can tell the difference between the 4K and the 1080. It's just sharper,
yeah,
and smoother.
Supposedly, if you
but
get...
But it's no more entertaining. I mean, movies are still shit, 4K or HD.
Supposedly, if you want true, really good 4K, you still have to go Blu-ray, if you can get them. But, I mean, everything's streaming now, so...
I can't remember the last time I watched a Blu-ray on a 4K screen.
I don't own a Blu-ray. I've never owned a Blu-ray. I've got a DVD player, but not a Blu-ray.
When I think about a classic movie that I really want to own,
mm-hmm,
Office Space,
mm-hmm,
Napoleon Dynamite,
mm-hmm,
you know, the things you got to own.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I have Zoolander, but I think that one might have been in the $3 bin.
Yeah.
But I don't have a Blu-ray player connected to a 4K TV. Every once in a while I want to watch that movie, but usually I just find it on a streaming service and not have to drag out
the disc player. I run a Plex server. So
I should.
I go find. Because
I've got quite the library.
Yeah, I go find what I need. You know, if I've paid for, let's say, Infinity War,
mm-hmm,
you know, I bought it through Disney or whatever,
yeah,
or probably Amazon or whoever. Well, maybe I want to make sure that, you know, whenever they have one of their little licensing snafus, and it's like, oh yeah, you didn't really own that. So I hit the torrent sites. And I will pull down a copy of that in 4K and put it on my Plex server.
The way I see that, I won't call that legal.
Yeah.
But I don't see anything wrong with it. You paid a license,
mm-hmm,
to watch that movie on one screen at one time. Now, if your Blu-ray's upstairs, you still have a license to watch it.
Yeah.
Even if you're playing it from a pirated download.
Well, they've even, in court, if I remember correctly, number one, you're allowed to make backups of your media.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, that backup can be digital. So that means if I have a physical DVD or Blu-ray,
mm-hmm,
I am within my rights legally to convert that to a digital file that can be streamed across my network for my enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I let other people watch it,
right, you just open it up and stream it.
That's against the law. But
yeah.
Yeah, so that's the reason why I have a Plex server. I'm not going to say everything's 100% above board, but it's as close as I can get it.
Yeah.
You know, and I've spent years and years and years ripping DVDs and stuff that I had, so.
A lot of the movies that I have, nobody wants to see anyway.
Yeah.
Hell, I've not seen some of them. It was kind of a rip and return for a while back.
Oh, yeah.
A long time ago. 15 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, before Netflix became a streaming-only service.
Have they completely gotten rid of the DVDs?
Yeah, I think they did.
Did they sell the DVDs? Shit, I'd love to be at that garage sale.
I know, right? I think they did it a year or two ago. They finally just shut it down.
No more DVD.
No.
I used to hop back on it because there was a movie, wasn't anywhere else but on disc.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I guess.
I literally had to go looking... there's a movie, Catherine the Great, was in the 80s or early 90s. It's it was about Catherine the Great. Mm-hmm. And, what's her name? She's married to Michael Douglas. Zeta-Jones.
Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Is it Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Is the only Zeta-Jones I've ever had dinner with?
Anyway, she's in it. I could not find that thing anywhere. I got lucky and actually wound up finding a copy of it on Amazon DVD. So when I got it, I immediately took the DVD and ripped it into a digital video file and put it on the Plex server,
mm-hmm,
because I was not hooking the DVD player back up
just
to watch that. And, you know, it's not 4K or, hell, it's not even 1080p, but, you know, it's whatever it was at the time, 480p or 480i or 480 or whatever, 320.
I don't know. It'll be, my DVD rips are usually DVD quality. Yeah. Whatever the quality was on the disc.
I think at the time it was 480p, but I don't know. It could have been 720. Anyway, to finish that up, the upgrade is not available on all devices. Currently, only Apple TV users can access the enhanced resolution.
And a boo-boo.
While Roku users remain limited to standard 1080p. This highlights the ongoing challenge of ensuring consistent streaming quality across different platforms. Despite this, the improved DVR resolution is a significant step forward, reflecting YouTube TV's commitment to enhancing its streaming services. And as I've said before, I loved YouTube TV. They just didn't have that block of channels. They had the History Channel and all of that. And I'm sorry, but I like Ancient Aliens and The Unexplained with William Shatner.
I don't like anything on a History Channel, but I won't judge. I will say that I watch NASCAR.
Yeah.
I have a family member involved, so I just kind of pay attention to it. And so he works with a team in the Xfinity series, which is, they race on Saturdays. Like, I don't know. You won't call them second tier, but they're junior.
Mm-hmm.
They're not at the level. Anyway, it's the Xfinity series. They have just moved, middle of the season, moved the Saturday Xfinity races to the CW, which is exactly the moment I found that Fubo doesn't have CW. Fubo is set to record every race.
Yeah.
Every Cup race, every Xfinity race, every Formula One event. All of a sudden, was not recording. I couldn't find the races. And I knew they were moving to CW. I just figured that was the channel everybody got.
Is it in the app?
No, it's not in the channel lineup at all.
No, I mean, is it not? CW has its own app.
Oh.
And it's free.
It won't record.
No.
I'm not going to be home for the race.
No, that's true. That's true. No, it will not record, but yeah.
But yeah, I never did look, honestly.
Yeah.
Not one of those kind of deals where I mean, got to have it, but.
Yeah, see, that kind of reminds me of something they did several years ago. So back when Arrow and The Flash and all of that was on CW,
mm-hmm.
they had a deal where, you know, it was on Monday nights or whatever, and then it was on Hulu the next night. So that's how I would watch it. Well, then CW decided, like everybody, we're going to roll our own app. And so when they did that, they did away with the agreement with Hulu, so it was no longer available on Hulu. The CW app, and I'm probably still to this day, is a piece of shit. So, and it's commercial driven. So, and I went from being able to watch commercial free on Hulu to having to watch Arrow and The Flash and whatever other shows that were on the CW with these obnoxious repeating, sometimes the same commercial repeating three times in a row.
Oh, I've seen that too, yeah.
During the ad break on their damn app. And Donovan said no and went to Sweden and got what he needed to get and watched and was done. Because the way I looked at that was, it was readily available to me to watch during prime time on my cable package. Therefore, I had a right to be able to watch it at least once and then delete the file, which is what I did.
Yeah.
Now, will that stand up in a court of law? Fuck no.
No.
But that's what I did, because these companies, and this is definitely getting off on a tangent and we're going to wrap it up. These fucking companies can't get it through their damn thick skulls that if you don't make it reasonably easy, convenient, and inexpensive to get content that we want to watch, we're going other places to get it, and they're not getting any of our damn money.
If they don't make it easier than downloading a torrent,
yeah,
I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
But I watched most of The Arrow on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no fucking way I'm watching commercials. And that's the reason that I record those NASCAR races. They're pretty long.
Yeah.
Plenty of commercial breaks. And
so
it's the same commercials every break.
Yeah.
It's either dick pills, buy gold, vote Trump.
exactly.
Or American Home Shield or some dumb shit.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Blue Chew.
And every once in a while, MyPillow.
Yeah. Oh, I can't stand that.
Oh, he's fucking broke.
Yeah, he is.
That's cool. So
Blue Chew. You've seen those, right?
I've heard the thing. I'm not sure. I may have seen a commercial and YouTube.
It's a gummy dick.
It's a chewable pill thing. Yeah. Is it Viagra?
Yeah, but basically it's
a chewy. Oh, yeah. So it's for millennials.
Because who
can't swallow a fucking pill?
I mean, the funny thing about the advertisements is it's for men, but there's nothing but women in the commercials.
Well, that's the point. You want to use the...
Yeah. And they're all very attractive, and they're all 25 to 35 years old.
They don't speak to me because they're in that blue chew voice, and it's you're not real.
Yeah.
So, yeah. If I have to watch commercials, I want to see things that are relevant. I don't want to see the same thing over again.
Yeah.
So if I can't fast forward the commercials, they just better not be there.
I agree.
And I'm done. I'm not going to buy anything I see a commercial for. I don't know why they still advertise that.
I swear, with all these services, the more we advance, the more we go backwards. So.
Yeah, and then the more people use AI to get information, the fewer ads they'll see. Oh, fuck.
Now we're going to have AI generated ads.
Now we're going to have ads in the middle of the output.
Yep.
Driven by some AI bot.
Yep.
That knows what I'm into based on my chat history with ChatGPT.
Yep.
You know, you can ask ChatGPT what did I ask it? Based on our conversations, what are some highlights of what can you glean from about me?
Okay, I'm gonna.
And it told me,
based on our previous conversations, what information have you been able to ascertain about me? Okay, isn't that how you spell No,
A S C.
Ascertain about me. You know what? Yes. Oh my God!
You want to read it out loud? Okay. The rest of the class?
From our previous conversations, here's what I've gathered about you. You run an online radio station that plays a variety of music, including tunes from the 80s to the 2020s, as well as EDM and dance music. The station is based in Tifton and serves South Georgia. You host a podcast interview segment as part of your online radio station. You have a podcast called Good Talk America that discusses politics, the economy, and issues impacting the daily lives of Americans. You relaunched the South Geek News podcast with Ben Rayberg, focusing on tech news for everyday users, and it's available on Apple Podcasts. Is there anything you'd like me to add or clarify? Holy fuck.
Isn't that crazy?
It only got one thing wrong, and that's you host a podcast interview segment as part of your online radio station, which I don't do that. But I have played the Tifton Talks podcast on there, the episodes that I have done. But, ooh, that's a yowzer. Okay. I think I'm done. That's it. I'm checking out.
Don's
lawn service starts next week.
Yep. It's a fucking crazy world, man. I'm just trying to keep up so I know what's possible. And maybe I can, get my three-edged sword and go.
That's it.
Go fight the good fight.
I think we have a show title.
Three-edged sword.
Yeah, truth is a three-edged sword. Nerds will get that, especially sci-fi nerds. All right, we're gonna wrap it up. Another long one. So if you have questions or comments, you can email podcast@southgeeknews.com. You can call and leave a voicemail, or you can send a text at 229-234-1307. That's 229-234-1307. I'd also like to clarify something on the bonus content, after hours, et cetera, et cetera. I have, for specific membership benefits, I moved the podcast to Substack. I actually moved all my shows back to Substack. The bare minimum that they will allow me to charge for members-only content is $5 per month. So that's where we're at. So if you want any of the bonus content, the after hours, it's basically where I cut out some of the pre-show and the post-show and throw that in there. It's usually only just a couple of minutes, maybe 10 minutes at the most. Then it's $5 a month, and you'll get it early. You'll get it up to 7 days early, and then it'll eventually just go into the normal feed. So there's that. But the podcast is still where it always has been, in your favorite podcast app, or as the old school folks say, the podcatcher. It was funny. I'm going to say this one thing and then we're going to leave. That was brought up in an episode of Grumpy Old Geeks, and somebody said podcatcher, and they were like, podcatcher? And I'm like, yeah, guys, that's what they were originally called. These guys are our age. Well, they're closer to my age, but yeah, I mean, they're over 50. So they were definitely around during the time of the early days of podcasts, and the original apps were called podcatchers. So anyway. All right, well, that's it for me. That's it for Ben. We'll be back. The next one we record, we probably still will not know the fate of the free world, but it will be the very next day.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it'll be the day after the election.
November 6th, because the election is November 5th.
I don't know how much money you want to bet that we won't.
I'm seeing...
We'll still have Wolf Blitzer with, like, nearly undressed after having gone all night.
Yeah.
Still saying, it's too early to tell.
It's too
close to call.
Yeah. I've actually seen where it's potentially could be up to a week that we will not have a final tally.
Just keep the fucking mouth shut until they know.
You know that won't happen.
No. The election officials.
Oh, yeah. Well, the newscaster, there's going to be one particular candidate that's going to say that they won, no matter whether they won or not.
And his name is Elon Musk.
Anyway, all right, that's it. Bye. This has been a production of Tifton Media Works. Check out all our podcasts by visiting tiftonmediaworks.com.